Hey everyone, and welcome to another SEO Andy podcast with me, Andy Kinsey. Today we're going to be kicking off with the search engine news, and then we're going to be talking Google indexing and the common problems that we come across and how to fix them. The aim of that is, of course, to help you index and rank better than your competitors and give you a search advantage. So, kicking off with this week's news, and before we do that, I really hope that everyone is having a fantastic Jubilee weekend if you're in the UK. So, this week's news then. So, Google, as well as rolling out its broad core update last week, which is rolling into this week and next week, hopefully finishing next week so we can give you a bit more information about it and who's been affected, has rolled out some rich snippet extras. So, first off, we've got FAQ increases. So, in terms of rich snippets, they've increased FAQs. And we don't just mean they've added one more. We mean they've really increased them. So, if you ask a question to Google, it used to be that you might see one or two questions on there in the people also ask, and you might see one under the odd brand, but we're now seeing lots of them. Now, this could be a test where they're rolling out to see just how many questions there could be there, but the likelihood is they've done this test and everyone's seeing it, because it's not just one or two of us that have mentioned this. It's literally hundreds of people. So this is either a broad test or they're rolling and rolling and rolling this. So FAQs are on the up. And if you've not got structured data for your FAQs, get it in now to take advantage of this. The next change to rich snippets is video and learning videos in particular. So we're seeing these appear in general for videos, and also embedded within the FAQs. So, learning videos for students, teachers, in the Discover and in FAQs for education, concept and skills videos are on the increase. So, if you type in how to do something, or what is, you may well come up with videos. Now, this has increased over the last month or so, but in particular in the last week with this latest broad core update. And I did a search or two earlier today and found that actually the majority of FAQs were dropping videos inside them, which is fairly new. And they weren't just YouTube videos, but were videos from Vimeo that were inside a given page of information, which is new, and usually you'd find a link to a Vimeo page here, but it was actually embedded in someone's content on their own website. So this is brand new from Google and really, really helpful. And the reason that they're increasing FAQs and videos is down to the page experience kind of update that we've talked about previously. And it goes to the product updates that we've talked about previously. It's about user experience. And Google wants to make sure that before it sends you to someone's website, that actually it's going to be engaging for you and it's the right piece of information. But also, it wants to kind of, with FAQs in particular, try and give you the answer before you get there. And this is particularly the case with short snippet answers, because it would really like to, if it can, get you to ask that second question first. So if you ask a simple question and it can give you the answer in an FAQ or straight up in a sentence at the top of a search page, then it's done its job. And you might just ask the search engine another question. And that's how Google gets paid, because at the top of those pages are adverts that it served and charged someone money for. And that's what the game is all about. So, what else has been going on this week then? So, next up, we have Google has helped form some more structured data. So, this is around authorship. And last time Google touched this, it kind of died quite quickly because it was Google Plus, and they were trying to link together authorship of lots of different things using Google Plus, and yeah, putting people's links to say, I am the author of this, I am the author of that. It didn't go too well. However, structured data, which exists across articles in many places, and across many websites now, and I'm a big advocate for, because it simply says, this is an article, this is the title of it, this is when it was posted, etc., etc. Really, really, I think the authorship part of it is something that has been missing. And I think Google, working with Schema and other structured data systems, I think is a great move, because it means that there will be a valid way, rather than, excuse the language, a half-arsed way of doing this, which it has been previously. I think there's a long way to go for structured data. However, I think every journalist, every book author should be looking at this authorship and making sure their byline is marked up at this point, to make sure all search engines link together all of their work. The final thing on today's list is confirmation from Danny Sullivan, who was a journalist for Search and is now working for Google. And he has basically confirmed what the search world already knew from a couple of years ago, that no follow links, that's links that are marked up as nofollow, have almost no value, if any value at all. Now, as I say, this isn't really a surprise, but it's just confirmation that if you mark up a link as, say, nofollow, Google isn't going to follow that link, even if Google thinks that link has value. So, make sure that if you're putting nofollow on a link, you really don't want it. Google or any search engine to go following it or to index that page. So there you go, that's this week's news roundup. Next week we'll hopefully be back with an update on that broad core update, be telling you who or what has been affected, and we'll also hopefully be giving you a better understanding of how you can fix it if you've been heavily affected, because we know certainly that some websites have been affected by 20-30%, but without a broader understanding of who's been affected in which way, then we can't begin to understand exactly what this update is. And that's what we're waiting for at this point, is that settling down to be able to say, actually, this is the commonality, because things are still in flux, and until the settling happens, we can't see the commonality. So, moving on to today's main topic then, of how to ensure your website is indexed correctly and as fully as possible to ensure that you get the best rankings possible. So, Google has warned for many years that your website needs to be great value, have the best content possible, and of course, have good quality content. This all boils down to what we've said previously in this episode and talked about previously on the podcast about having great user experience. Now, if you lack quality content, then you may not find that your site indexes very well. If you don't have links, you may find that your site doesn't index very well. And if you have bad user experience and say you have a high bounce rate or a low engagement rate as it is on GA4, you may find that Google simply lowers your crawl rate and you don't have a great indexing. So all of those things kind of add to a lower indexing value as we see it. But also you then get, of course, the Google updates, the algorithm updates, where you can then be affected in terms of how your site is indexed. So again, it comes to things such as your content, your links, but it's also to do with how Google then perceives the value of certain content. So last November, in a update, we saw them focus on product reviews. We've seen them before focus on the type of content in terms of offering value to longer form content and ensuring it was really of value in specific niches or it was truly authoritative. And that was a move away to what they had traditionally looked at in terms of value. Now, this changes over time, but it all changes the picture and means we have to keep on top of things to ensure a site remains fully indexed, but also that that index translates to ranking. So, let's have a look then at some of the factors that really... What word should we use here? That can affect a indexing. So, if your site is smaller than 30 pages, then Google is unlikely to see you as being authoritative. If you have a break from blogging or posting on a site that is specifically a blog, then you may have an issue in starting up your indexing again, unless you build links again. If your content is regularly, and it's a blog this, regularly under 500 words for pages, or 1,000 words where your content has been that previously, then you may have an issue because it's that authority continuing. If you offer generic content, and so that content is similar to other people's, then again, you're going to suffer. So if your service pages sound like every other people's service page, what's to differentiate you? If you have overly long URLs, and that goes for everything. So if your service pages are overly long, if your blog URLs are overly long, including categories, so if you just, for example, let your main blog URL translate from the title of the blog, you've probably found that you end up with a URL that is 150 characters. Don't do it. Just translate it to /category/ 2 or 3 words. It makes things really easy for Google. The more complicated you make things, the harder things make it for yourself. Page experience, we've spoken about previously, stuff like page speed, your bounce rate, having links within content, building backlinks. If you don't have any backlinks, and for a new website, just start, ask your friends. If your site is aging, so if it's over 3 years old and you really aren't building backlinks, or you don't have any backlinks at that point, Google's going to look at you and wonder, where's your authority? If you are a new website or an old website and you don't have social media accounts, Google's going to wonder where your authority is. And it's going to wonder if you're a real website. there are other issues that are fairly common. And these can be found in Google Search Console. So you should always register your website in Google Search Console. It requires a simple meta tag on your website, or you can use Google Analytics to authorize it. It takes a couple of days for data to start to appear. Basically, in here you see your search coverage as performance. you get your page experience data, but also down the left-hand side, under index, you can click on coverage. And in the details of this, you can see things that are affecting how your index is going. So things like server errors, things like how many 404 pages, whether pages have been indexed through those 404 errors or server errors, other issues such as whether your sitemaps are actually working or not are all there for you to see within that coverage section. And also, if you're building using a template, you can see whether parts of that template are being indexed or not. So for example, on one of my client websites recently, I was able to see that a part of the template builder was being indexed rather than the whole page. And so we were able to go into the template and remove that from indexing. And believe it or not, it was that was being indexed rather than the full page. It's small things like that that can have a large impact. So, from the start, or from a beginner to a medium-sized website, the things that you can do to really help promote full indexing is regular publishing, having unique content, making your website authoritative, so that's longer content, unique content, as we've just said, getting links to your website, but also ensuring those links are of true value, and ensuring that your presence is fast and secure, so that page experience is really, really is really, really good. So, is there anything else that you can be doing? Well, as we've said, there's those issues in Search Engine Console, so stuff like the redirects, the 404s, the no index tag. So you can make things easier for search to get to. So in your navigation at the top of your site, put your core content there. But in the footer of your site, you can put some more links there to more hidden away content. So for example, in the top of your website, you might put a link to your homepage, your portfolio, your key services, and your main blog page. But in your footer, you might have links to your blog categories or some of your service subpages. And you might really dig down into your website in those footer links, because actually those are the pages that are really hard for you to link to elsewhere. However, by doing so in your footer, you're making it accessible on every page of your website, but in a really non-inobtrusive way. And Google can see those links, get to them really easily, and it takes it away from that header, which needs to be nice and clean. It's better than having a drop down there, because that'll just confuse people, and it makes life easier for you. So if you want to check how your site is indexed, the best way to do it is to go to google.com or .co.uk, type the word site, a semicolon, and then put your URL without the HTTP. So site, colon, seoandy.com would bring up how my site is indexed. And then you'll see at the top of it, it says about and how many pages are indexed. And if you want a specific page, you could do site and then put the full URL there, including the HTTP. And you can see if it comes up. And if it comes up, it means it's indexed. And if it says no results, it means it's not indexed. If you're struggling to get indexed, my advice is to seek some professional advice. Usually, it'll be something really innocuous to do with how your website's set up, your service set up, or something has just been forgotten on your website. However, there can be cases where it's technical or developmental, or there's content issues on your website. Or, of course, it can be a Google search update that has caused you an issue, or you can have a Google penalty. Now, if you need help or advice, get in touch with a professional. There are lots of SEO agencies, consultants out there that will help you, will give you a helping hand at a relatively low cost for indexing. Just get in touch with someone who's fairly local to you is my advice. One final note about getting indexed then. Indexing websites, obviously dependent on size, can take anywhere from days to months. The bigger your website, the longer it's going to take. And also, the more complex your website, the longer it will take. And this goes for websites that are being relaunched as well. Now, the time is dictated by the search engine. However, if you have a more authoritative website and you're relaunching, you can help this sequence of events by ensuring you've got your redirects in place, you've done the planning properly, and your website doesn't go down for any period of time. If your website goes down for, let's say, 3 hours, or 24 hours, or even 48 hours, you're going to have a problem when it comes back up, because Google doesn't know what's happened in that period of time. And you're bringing back up online a website that looks completely different. And the likelihood is that if you bring up a website that doesn't have those redirects in place, which is likely the case, because you've had that downtime, it means you've not done the planning, then unfortunately, you will really have an uphill struggle. However, if you plan, you have the redirects, you do not have the downtime. And also, if you can reach out to some of the people with high domain authority links to you and get them to change those links for your new key page URLs, you can really enhance that relaunch and really reduce the reindex time. And if they can't change those URLs for you, ask them if they'll build you a new link to a new internal page. Not your home page, but to an internal page. Whether that's a service page, a blog page, even a page about your relaunch. You need some new links to your website. And that will really help with your indexing. And the same goes for brand new websites. The more links you get to it, the better it becomes. So that's it for today. If you've got any questions at all about the content in this podcast, whether that's indexing or this week's news, get in touch over at Andy Kinsey on Twitter or over at seoandy.com/podcast. Please subscribe on your favourite podcast subscription service. I like iTunes. This podcast is also available over on YouTube. Just find the SEO Andy channel. Thank you very much for listening as always. We'll be back next week. Thank you.